says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I
good to hear voices in church today. I was told that is one of Dallas's favorite songs. Is that right, Dallas? Karen, if you don't mind hitting record button up there, it'd be wonderful. Well, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I'm dressed a little unique today. And we good back here, Karen? Recording? Thank you. I'm dressed a little unique today. I'm dressed in my EMT uniform. I became an EMT about 5 years ago. And one thing that I noticed that when I became an EMT is that the uniform had to be a part of what I was doing. And the reason it was is because the uniform is really important to what I do to my role. And I found that I when I got dressed in my uniform that something wasn't quite right. And what wasn't quite right was my belt. I had a thin leather belt that I was using for a time, and it was stretched out, and I wear my equipment on me, and it would sag. I didn't like it very well because, you know, white guys from Missouri don't sag. Anyway, so as I was thinking about that, I want to get a belt. So Derek and Ashley have a neighbor named Sin Johnson. C-Y-N is her name, Sin Johnson, and she does leather stuff. And I said, I want a belt. I want a good belt. I want it 2 inches wide with a good buckle. So that's what she made me. She made me a 2-inch wide belt. And I wear it, and it's one of the best things I ever did for a uniform. Here's why I like it so much. One is, you can see I've got a lot of paraphernalia on my belt that I wear as an EMT. One is I have my radio, and so without your radio, I can't get direction. For example, I had two calls last night while I was on call, and the call comes over my radio. If I don't have my radio, I can't do what I'm doing. So when we go to a scene, for example, Ashley's my partner on our crew, Vern's my partner on my crew. So when we go out on a run, we check in with our radio, so that way dispatch always knows where we are, okay? I also wear this as well. Whoop, sorry. Hit the weather channel on my radio. Let me switch that back again.
7 miles per hour.
I wonder if it's going to rain.
For Monday, most...
Okay. Tuesday? Great. The other thing I wear on my belt is something that's pretty handy for me, is my flashlight. We've been on many situations in which I've had to, no doubt about it, have extra light. And the extra light is valuable to me. So this is the light I had. You remember the story I told you about when Ashley and I were out and we had that guy on the side of the road? This is the light I had, okay? All right. It's 100
lumens.
Thank you. 100 lumens. And it also does one of these deals. Look at this. Woo! Wow. So it's a great light, powerful light, and when I'm on a scene, I got to have it, so I grab it and I go. The other thing I have with me is my phone. I got to have my phone. The reason I got to have my phone, because in Worth County, we all don't know our 911 addresses yet, okay? But the computer does. And so if someone gives me a 911 address, I can tell my phone the 911 address, and it'll just tell me where to go. So, hey, Siri, tell me how to get to Vern Mitchell's house.
I can't seem to access that data right now.
There you go.
Can you try again in a little bit?
So, my phone's pretty handy at times to figure out not getting to Vern's place. I know where he lives. So the other things I have in my belt, I also have my, like a Leatherman back here, because I've never had to use it yet, but there are going to be opportunities where I need a knife, pair of pliers. I even have a saw in here, and so I can do that if I need to as well. I also have attached to my belt my trauma shears, and these are things, situations that you need as far as an EMT. You got to cut people's clothes off and things like that when they're in a situation. And I have found that trauma shears do not work with muck boots. The only thing that works with muck boots is going to be this guy right here. That will get through a muck boot. Trauma shears will not. So for me, I got to have a good belt. When I do my job, I got to have a good belt, because when I don't have a good belt, bad things happen. So why do we bring this up today? Well, guess what passage of scripture in? It's on the screen. You got your Bible, Ephesians 6. Go there with me. Ephesians 6, verse 14. The belt has become such a pivotal part to my life and my EMT crew and my EMT job that I think it's also an instrumental part for your life as a Christian. I love how Dallas phrased his walk, his lifestyle of Christianity. It's true. The belt of truth. Now, that tells me something about the belt of truth. Let me look at there in Ephesians 6, verse 14. And it's not on the screen. It's going to be in your Bible. This is what the Bible says. Stand firm then with the belt of what? Truth buckled around your what? Your waist. And so the nature of the belt is what? The nature of the belt in this passage is what? Truth. That's the nature of the belt. It's truth. It didn't say belt of should, belt of maybe, belt of possibilities. It says belt of truth. It's truth, okay? So then we read the whole text and put the whole text together. So we're going to go in Ephesians 6, looking in verse 14. This is what the Bible says, all right? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and you can see the screen up here, I have those listed right there. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on what? Praying for all the saints. So if you look at that text, you're going to see there's three things that a Christian always has on. Three things. You see them? Belt of truth. What's the next one? Breastplate of righteousness. A Christian always has that on. What's the third one? It's the shoes. Your feet are fitted with shoes ready to spread God's peace. But there are three things that we take up. Three things that we pick up as needed. A shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, and a sword of the Spirit. We're going to talk more of that as we get more into our sermon series. But today we're focused on what belt again? The belt of truth. Okay. Now notice that when you have a belt in your life, it does a lot of things. It does a lot of things as far as bringing stability and order. It keeps my pants up, not down. Okay? That's pretty handy when you're out in an EMT scene. You want to make sure you have those things important to you. Notice it says the belt of truth is firmly around your neck. Your belt of truth is firmly around the bottom of your bottom. The belt of truth is firmly around your ankles. Okay. The belt of truth is firmly around your waist, because where is your waist? It's in the middle of who? You. So truth has to be in the middle of who? Truth has to be in the middle of all of us. Truth has to be in the center of our being. Any idea what else is in the center of your being? What organ is in the center of your being? Your heart. Look at this. Since your heart is in the center of your being, what does God want in the center of your being? What's he want there? He wants truth. Look, behold, you desire, this is God. God says he desires what? Truth. Where? In the innermost of our being. Where is that in your life? Point to it. Put your hand on it. It's right there. Right there. God wants truth right there. Why? Why does God want that? What's significant about that God would want that? Well, let's look at the question again. We knew last week that God is spirit. We learned that. And those who worship him, that is Christians who worship God, must worship him in spirit and how else? Truth. You see, if you don't have truth in the center of your being, what will you not do? You will not worship God. Any idea what heaven's about? Worship of who? Worship of our God. If you choose not to put truth in the center of your life, guess what is not on your radar? The worship of our God forever and eternity in heaven. You have to put truth where? In our heart. So we looked at this last week. Remember this, we looked at this last week. And we're made in the likeness of God. That means we're more spiritual or physical? We're more spiritual. Now if you look at the rest of the verse here, there's a verse say this, God is spirit and those who worship him, well, if you think about it, worship him in spirit and truth. Does it say that? Does it say God is spirit and those who worship him, well, you should worship in spirit and truth. What word is that? It's must. That's an imperative. It has to happen. You have to worship God in spirit and truth. This interests all of us. I should be gravely and gravely concerned about where truth is in me. Am I actually putting truth where? In my heart. Am I doing that? So I got a question. Here we go. How do we get the belt of truth? How does that happen? Because I want the belt of truth in my life so I can have an eternity with the God of truth. That's what I want. So here it is. The first thing is this. Jesus must be my belt of truth. Nothing or no one else can be. Dallas shared with us a wonderful testimony about his own life and how his drug addiction became the stronghold in his life, became the truth of his life. And I bet if you talked to him after church, he'd tell you where that truth took him. But I just saw a man talk about Jesus being the truth of his life, and guess where that's taking him? Well, we could say Honolulu. And so the thought for us today is this, friends. Look, Jesus has to be your truth. And why is that? Because Jesus says this about himself. Jesus said, let's read this together. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other way but who? There's no other way but Jesus. There's no other truth but who? Jesus. There's no other truth but Jesus. The opposite of life is death. When you don't have Jesus, that means you have death. Jesus has to be our truth. He has to be. Otherwise, folks, we're not going to make it. Two, God and his word must be my belt of truth. Nothing or no one else can be. God and his word must be my belt of truth. God wants his word in your life. And here's how he wants it in your life. John 17:17. Let's read this together. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Any idea what sanctify means? Sanctify. Come on, throw it out there. Set apart. Okay, I'm set apart for who? The Lord. You're set apart for the Lord. And not only are you set apart by the Lord, you're set apart by the truth. You see, I can look in people's lives, even my own lives at one time. My life was set apart for something different than what God wanted it to be. I wanted my truth to be my truth. My truth is truth for me. No, that's not true, Jeff. Your truth is based on the truth of God's word, and the truth of God's word sanctifies me, sets apart me for the word. How do I know that? Because he told me, he says, God's word is truth. And so as I put God's word in my life, it sets me apart for who? The Lord. Sets me apart for the Lord. Sanctified for the Lord. And since God's word is truth, guess what God is? God's truth. Three. The Holy Spirit must be my belt of truth. Nothing or no one else can be. The Holy Spirit must be my belt of truth. No one else, nothing or no one else can be. Look at John 16, 13. Let's read this together. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. This verse was spoken by Jesus on a Thursday night. Any idea what happened on Friday? We call it Good Friday. He was crucified. He's going to be killed. And so he's telling his disciples, look, I'm going to send a spirit into your life, and he's going to be called the Spirit of who? Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth. That's who he is, okay? And so the Bible tells me that when I'm immersed into Christ, I receive who at that point? I receive the Holy Spirit. So at that point when I'm immersed into Christ, I'm amazed by the fact that God wants to live inside me. But beyond that, I'm now understanding that I have the Spirit of truth where? Inside us. That's where I have the Spirit of truth, okay? And so as I describe the Holy Spirit, he's described as the Spirit of truth. And what does he do? He guides us into how much of the truth? I did an interview one time years ago, and the interview lady asked me the question. She says, Jeff, do you ever think it's okay to tell a white lie? Oh, yeah, sometimes people just don't need to know those things. Huh. Is that all the truth? No, you see, a partial lie is a full lie. A half-truth is a full lie. I was wrong. I wasn't a Christian. I now know the difference because now the Holy Spirit will guide me into how much truth? All the truth. How much does all cover in your life? How much? Everything. Seems to me if he's willing to guide us in all truth, I better be talking to who a lot. So God's redundant. God is redundant in several things in getting the truth in his life. We know Jesus is truth, God and his word and truth. God wants you to wear truth like a belt. And so here's the question. Why is God so adamant about getting the truth in your life? Why? Look at this next text. Let's look at it together. And let's read it. Ready? You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Anybody understand what happens in John 8? Anybody remember? It's one of the only few times you ever see Jesus, one of three, maybe two times, Jesus is about to get stoned. Yeah. He's getting after these guys, getting after the Pharisees, and they want to kill him. There's a reason that God wants the truth in your life. The devil's been called the prince of this world, and he roams around the world seeking Christians to devour, seeking people to devour. And here's why. Because Jesus calls the guys around him, the devil's their father. Any idea what the devil wants to be in your life? He wants to be your father. That's what the devil wants to be. He wants to be your father. Not only does he want to be your father, but when he becomes your father, when you become a family member of Satan, and you think, man, I would never do that. But wait a minute. You start doing the desires of your father. If you're not practicing truth of God, you're practicing the deeds of your father, which is the devil. There's some things you need to know about the father of lies. He's what? He's a murderer. He wants to kill you. There's nothing good about the devil. He will never, ever be anything good about the devil. He's a murderer. That's what he wants to do. He wants to murder. And he's been that way since when? Beginning. He wanted to make sure Adam and Eve died. Read in the Genesis 3 account, you can find it. He does not stand the truth. There's no truth in him. There's never going to be truth. As a matter of fact, when the devil speaks, he always speaks how? He always speaks a lie. Sometimes he'll speak a half-truth, but a half-truth is still a full lie. And he flat out is what? a liar. Why does God want the truth in your life? Because what? God wants to be your father. He does not want Satan to become your father. There is not a person in this room at one point has allowed the devil to be their dad. Because we all have done what? With sin and lies. We've succumbed to him, haven't we? We've all lied. We've all sinned. So isn't it a great thing that we can come to church and understand the reality? How does Satan work to get his lies in me? Because what happens is he'll tell you a lie till you lie till you lie till you lie, and you start believing it. And as you start believing it, guess what you start doing? You start living it. So how does Satan do that? See, Satan manifests his lies in three places in our life. This is how he does it. Now watch, here it goes real quick. One, what you believe in your heart, you think in your mind, you act in your behaviors. You see it? What you believe in your heart, you think in your mind, you act in your behaviors. That's what you do. You've grown up with a belief system somewhere along the lines, or maybe you've captured a belief, and you said, yeah, I'll hold on to that. It's not of God. You still believe it. You start thinking on it, and then what do you do next? Have you ever run across somebody and go, why on earth are they doing that? Well, we back up and go, what's happened in their heart? They've believed something. They're thinking it, and now they're what? They're acting it. They're living it, okay? Let's go. Go here with me. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. Okay? We're going to kind of camp out here for the next few minutes. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. That's what I want to say. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power. They have divine power to demolish, what's that word? Strongholds. We demolish arguments. And some of you don't say arguments. What's your Bible say? Speculations, okay. We demolish arguments, speculations, and every pretension. Other than pretension, what do some of you have? Lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it what? Say it with me, obedient to Christ. How important is it for you to be obedient to Jesus? Come on. How important is it to be obedient to Jesus? Just me this morning? I got my hand up. I want to be obedient to Jesus. So there's three types of beliefs the devil used to infect you. I use the word infection because the devil's a virus. He's a bacterium scourge that's on the planet, and he's infecting us. So there's three types of beliefs the devil will use to infect you. Here they are. Number one is this. We're using the word demolish our strongholds. It's related to demolish our strongholds in your text, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Well, number one is this. The devil infects our hearts with beliefs that cause arguments and speculation. I did a synonym research on the word speculation, and it means gossip, assumptions, and rumor. So the devil infects our hearts with beliefs that cause arguments and speculation. Here's what the truth does. The truth destroys beliefs that cause arguments and speculation. The truth destroys gossip, assumptions, and rumors. That's what the truth destroys. And so why do arguments start? We just got told there. Because the devil infects our hearts or beliefs that cause arguments and speculations. And so as we sort out the question, let me ask again, where do lies and beliefs in your heart start? Are we spiritual or physical? We're spiritual. It starts in the spiritual realm. The reason you argue with God, and we all have, the reason you speculate about God or assume things about God is because you chose to consent and cooperate with the devil. In what realm? Spiritual realm. Somehow in your mind and your heart, you got to believing something. Let me back at that in order. Somehow in your heart and your mind, you started to consent and cooperate with the devil's lies, and you invited that into your heart. And if you find yourself assuming things about God, arguing with God, speculating things about God, it's really time to ask the question. And here it is. Let's say this together. Jesus, you are the truth. What beliefs do I have that block the true view of you? The other thing I noticed this about myself, and you probably noticed this about you, you may say, I don't have a problem with God. I just got a problem with people. I disagree. Because if you find yourself in a position in which you're arguing with people, speculating about people, assuming things about people, it's probably time to ask the question. Let's say it together. Jesus, you are the truth. What beliefs do I have that block the true view of you in this person or situation? Two. Again, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. I think it says lofty things in your text. Lofty things, some Bibles say. We demolish every pretension or lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Here's what the truth does, okay? Well, this is what the devil does. The devil infects our heart with beliefs that go against the knowledge of God. They go against the knowledge of God. What do you think the truth does? The truth destroys beliefs that go against the knowledge of God. The truth destroys beliefs that go against the knowledge of God. What does pretension mean? A lofty thing. What does pretension mean? The word pretension, what's it mean? It means you act in pretense. Pretense means you know it already. That's what it means. Okay, that's what it means. Here's what it means. You have an air of self-importance. You have an air of self-importance. In other words, what you're doing is when you go to a certain situation or a person, you don't need to know any more information about the situation. You don't need to know any more information about that person. You have already got a pretense in your mind, and that's how you're going to act. Do you think we do that with God? If we do it with people, guess who else we do it with? I don't know anything else. This is how God is. I don't know anyone else. As you continue to unpack that word, to act in pretense literally means I know enough, I don't want God there anymore than I have him already there. It literally means you set up an elevated stronghold. You set up an elevated stronghold, like a rampart or a barrier. In translation, here's what it means. You have set off a part of your heart that says, I've got this spot, I know everything I want to know about it, I don't want God in it. I was kind of doing this, do you see that? That's what we do. I don't want God in it. I don't want God in a part of it. And so what we say to ourselves, you know what? This is what I want for my life, and what I want for my life is good enough, and I don't want who there? I don't want God or Jesus there. I don't want the truth in that part of my life. I don't want the truth in that part of my heart. We do that. You've created a pretense. You've created a lofty room in your heart that says, I don't want God there. I don't want his knowledge. I don't want his understanding. And in fact, you want to even justify that part of your life because you want to do what you want to do, and you absolutely refuse to let God there. How many of us do you think have done that? We've all done that. Where did that begin? Remember, you believe something in the spiritual realm and put it in your heart, and then you started to think on it, and then you started to do it. That's what you did. So what if you took 120 seconds? What if you took 120 seconds this week and just sat down and asked God this question? Let's read this out loud. God, what places in my heart have I closed off against you and others? I repent. Forgive me. Please have all my heart. The other thing I see is this, number three. Again, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take captive every thought to make it what? Obedient to Christ. Here's what the devil does. The devil infects our heart to be disobedient to Jesus. He infects our heart to be disobedient to Jesus. What do you think the truth does? The truth creates obedience to Jesus. The truth creates obedience to Jesus. I'm mindful of a story I heard not long ago about the preacher at the end of the sermon time went to the back of the church, like much like we have the back of our church, and the little boy came at the preacher, shook his hand. Preacher, I want you to know that as soon as I grow up, when I get a job, I'm going to give you as much money as I can. The preacher was kind of like dumbfounded. He's like, that's very nice of you to say it. Well, Tommy, why did you say that to me? Well, because my dad says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. Don't you hate it when your kids say something that you said? If you have a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But don't you hate it when your body does something that your mind is thinking? See, I hate it when I do something that my mind is thinking because I know it's not a mind issue, it's a heart issue. Somehow or another, I've let the devil infect my heart, and he's come into my life, and he's helped me create a sinful, awkward moment. And all of us have probably had sinful, awkward moments. We call it like this, shortcomings. I fell short. No, let's call it what it is. It's sin. And when you let the devil come into your life and you start to be disobedient to God, you didn't think it, you believed it, and you start acting it. And where did that start again? In the spiritual realm. And you believed it, and you thought it, and then you what? Acted it. This verse has been an enigma to me for some time, so I thought the best way I could handle it for myself is just simply have a prayer. You see, there's a blank there because you think things. And I would recommend to you, because I've started doing this, keeping a thought journal. Keeping a thought journal. And a thought journal helps me write down the things that are the negative, things that are negative, and things that are disobedient to God. I keep a thought journal. I write down the date, the time, the person or situation that I'm in, and then I write a conclusion. But part of my thought journal includes asking this question. Holy Spirit, these are my thoughts right now. Write it down. What truth do you want me to know about the beliefs that cause those thoughts? You know what I found to be true? I've got a problem with the way I think. You reckon I'm the only one? Yep, preacher, you're the only one. You're the poorest preacher we've ever had. So as we contemplate and consider where we've been today, I want to share with you something that happened last week. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking that the preacher sees me to come to church Sunday morning, and he preaches a sermon just for me. Wrong answer. That doesn't happen. Because I was thinking about this last week, and so I guess I'm ahead of the game for me. Last week, I had an opportunity to have a meeting with a person in our community, and I was trying to think of every excuse I could have not to have that meeting with that person. As a matter of fact, I went out of my way and made a list of reasons I should not go to that meeting with this person. And I forwarded that list to my wife, or at least I was talking to her about it, and I forwarded that list by text to another person. And I ended up going to that meeting because there were several other people there I should be going with. And so I ended up going to that meeting, and it was completely different than what I thought. It was positive, it was encouraging, and it was actually one of the best meetings we've ever had. Any idea what the Holy Spirit did to me? It's almost like he put his arm around me and said, Jeff, you're going to preach a sermon on next week, and I want my people to feel convicted. Okay, Lord, so what does that mean? That means I want you convicted first. Okay, Lord. So I did the easy part. I contacted the person I texted and I said, you know what? I was wrong about that. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Would you delete that text? Went to my wife and said, you know, I said these things about this person and I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Because you realize that when you're saying something negative about somebody else when they're not around, that's called gossip. What do you think the last thing I had to do? I had to tell the person. Now, this person had no idea that I even said those things. I didn't say them. Matter of fact, I texted them. Look, folks, if you're thinking it, it's what? It's the same as saying it. Hi, this is Jeff. I just want you to know that I thought some really ill things of you going to that meeting last week. Matter of fact, I gave myself plenty of excuses not to go, and you did the exact opposite. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I think the person fell over. How often does that happen? I was convicted of it. I've been a Christian for not even 20 years. If I'm thinking it, I'm going to act on it. So I ask for forgiveness. Am I going to blow it again? What do you think? Yes. Yeah, I sure will. And at that point, you can give me money because I am the poorest preacher we've ever had in this church. But folks, I'm going to keep trying. Based on the belt of what? Truth. Because Jesus is my truth, God and His Word is my truth, and the Holy Spirit is what? My truth. And I've got to put the truth where? In my heart, so I can then think it, so I can then act it. Okay? I want to stand with you now, if you don't mind. We're going to sing a song. And I want to pray with you before the song starts. If you have a decision to make for Jesus, let's talk about it after church, and we can grab some time for each other. Dallas is going to continue to be here for a little while longer. I'm almost certain of that, and I love his storytelling. And so just talk to Dallas. And don't forget, if you want to contribute towards Dallas's ministry, make sure you see Vern. Give him that check today, because he is our treasurer. Lord Jesus, we love you. And this song talks about putting the truth in our heart. And I ask, dear Lord, that you help us do that. Lord, we mess it up so bad. And I think Dallas is right. You pick us up and say, you did make some progress. Let's try again. Thank you, Spirit, for giving us the truth. Thank you, God, for giving us your word. We pray in your name. Amen.
Here's my heart, Lord. What is true?